Today we're bringing you a grim tale of justice and vengeance. It's the story of Elmer Hill, the murder of Hill's 12-year-old cousin, Mamie Womack, and the events that follow. Hello folks, I'm Steve Gilley, along with Rod Mullins, and this is another one of the stories of Appalachia.
Steve, I'm not trying to be gross or sickening here, but these lynchings and these stories, I don't know why they attract me for some reason, because listening to all the stuff that kind of goes into them, and then when they have the lynching or they have the hanging or whatever it might be, just to see how different things are now compared to what they were 100, 150 years ago when they did this sort of thing, it's just amazing any way you look at it.
Well, I guess you just call it mob justice, mm-hmm. I suppose. Yeah. This one has a teeny tiny little bit of a twist. We'll get into that here in a little bit, but it is one of those true crime stories, a story about a young girl's murder, the hunt for her killer, and also a mob's thirst for vengeance. And it takes place in Kentucky with twists and turns that almost feel like a plot from a crime thriller, except this is not fiction.
Wow.
The year was 1908, mid-December, and in Columbia, Kentucky, and Adair County, winter's chill was just setting in. Christmas was just around the corner, but instead of enjoying the holidays, the residents of Columbia are about to be rocked by a crime so horrific it left a lasting mark.
That crime that was so horrific was the murder of little Mamie Womack. She was just 12 years old and was the daughter of Logan Womack, a well-respected man in the area. Mamie was walking home from school one Tuesday afternoon like any other day, but by 4 o'clock p.m., when she hadn't gotten there, her father started to worry. Logan Womack went out looking for his daughter. He found her, assaulted, strangled, and killed by bashing her head with a club. Then left her in the woods, her small body covered in leaves by her killer, to keep her hidden. Now, news of Mamie's death spread like wildfire. The folks were outraged, viewing this as not just a crime against her, but as an attack on the God-fearing folks of Columbia. The Womacks were well-loved in the area, with Logan's home often serving as a base for local hunters.
Well, Rod, what intensified the outrage was the sheer brutality of what was done to Mamie. Marks on her neck showed she'd been strangled, and the murder weapon, that club, was found nearby. The crime was so vicious that the state government itself decided to act. Kentucky's governor, Augustus E. Wilson, offered a $250 reward for any information leading to the arrest of Mamie's killer. Local groups added their own bounties, and soon the hunt was on. Men from the area used their hunting and tracking skills to uncover any clues as to who killed Mamie Womack. They took their bloodhounds, normally used to track prey, and set them out to sniff out Mamie's killer. Soon they began to make some progress. The dogs picked up the trail at the crime scene, and before long they were following it through the woods, tracking the movements of a man who would soon become the prime suspect, 21-year-old Elmer Hill.
Now, Elmer wasn't a stranger to the Womacks. He actually was Mamie's cousin. And get this, he had the nerve to visit the Womack home the morning of Mamie's funeral. Now, Elmer had viewed her body and expressed outrage at the crime, saying that he hoped the murderer would be brought to justice. Hill couldn't hide from the bloodhounds, though. Those hunting dogs tracked his scent from the scene of the crime to several locations, including his father's house and a couple of stores where he'd bought cheese and crackers while he was on the run.
Over 5 days, Hill crisscrossed Russell and Adair counties, evading capture as a posse of men and dogs trailed him. He covered roughly 90 miles through the woods before finally being caught as he slept in, of all places, an outhouse in Adair County. The men who captured him, Walford Wilson and a man named Shepard, brought him to the jail in Jamestown, but by then, tensions were at a boiling point. After Hill arrived at the jail, a mob of around 100 men gathered, intent on lynching him. But the sheriff and his deputies had already figured that was going to happen, so they secretly moved Hill under the cover of darkness, taking him to Monticello for safekeeping.
Hill might have been safe for the time being, but the people of Columbia weren't going to be calmed down. In fact, folks were even angrier that they had, than they had ever been when Elmer Hill was captured. Hill's trial was set to begin, but the community was not in the mood to let the legal system handle things. You guessed it, folks. The mob spirit was alive and well. And by the way, we should mention that during his time in custody, Elmer Hill made no statements about his guilt or innocence. On December 17th, 1908, things came to a head. A mob of 26 men, said to have been made up of, quote, some of the best citizens, end quote, of Russell County, Kentucky, arrived in Monticello on foot. Armed and resolute, they demanded the jailer turn over Hill to them. Well, they didn't exactly demand it, folks. What they did was point guns at the jailer and told him they weren't there to cause a scene, but they would be leaving with Hill and that the law had no say in the matter.
And that jailer, faced with an armed mob primed to explode at any minute, had no choice but to hand over his prisoner. The men took Hill, leading him out of town after dark. About a mile out of Monticello, the angry crowd encountered Dr. T.H. Gamblin, who witnessed what may have been Hill's final moments, which I'm going to share. What the doctor said he saw was chilling. He said the mob confronted Elmer Hill, demanding he confess to his crimes against Mamie Womack. At first, he denied everything, swearing he did nothing with her, had nothing to do with her death. But when they pressed him by mentioning the blood on his cap and hands when he was captured, Hill broke down. He tearfully admitted to the crime, telling the mob that he and he alone had done it. He said, and I quote, "Yes, boys, I did kill her." He described how he strangled Mamie with a bandana, then took her into the woods where he assaulted and killed her.
After his confession, the mob told Hill to pray, but he said he couldn't. Prayer or not, they set him up on a mule and took him to a spot near Greasy Creek, about 2 miles from Jamestown. There, they hanged him from a tree. And you guessed it, the rest of it, they hanged him until he was found dead, 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 and cut down the next morning. As best we can tell, this ended the matter, and none of the mob faced charges for the lynching of Elmer Hill.
That is a brutal story. I mean, all the way around. I mean, absolutely brutal the way he treated this girl and what he did to her, and brutal as far as the justice that was given to him by the mob.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, and we've talked about some of these brutal lynchings before in some of the other stories that we've done here on the Stories Podcast, but this one was a little bit different. You know, this was, you know, not anything about race or anything like that, but this had something to do with a man supposedly assaulting a young girl. And then after all of this was, you know, carefully pieced out, I guess, to a certain degree, the crowd just simply said, "We've had enough. We're going to take matters into our own hands." Because, I mean, you have to look at it, even though that was, well, we might consider it mountain justice to a certain degree. Mm-hmm. It probably was a very common thing that if you had somebody that did something and the chances of them making trial, they were slim, especially if you had a lynching mob behind them.
As you said, a little bit of what we call mountain justice handed out to this fellow.
Yep.
And folks, that's the story of the lynching of Elmer Hill for the brutal assault and murder of Mamie Womack. Another one of the stories of Appalachia. Thanks for listening. You can subscribe to the Stories Podcast at Spreaker, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Till next we meet, y'all take care. So long, everybody.